This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Welcome to this special event, the State of the University Address. Let me also welcome staff members and students who are following this event on our radio station. I want to ask you to join us as the university leadership in praying for the family of Mr. Sean Dorica, a former lecturer in the Department of Electrical Engineering, who was kidnapped and brutally murdered last semester. May the souls of all the deceased rest in peace, and may justice and divine punishment come to those whose hands are mired in the blood of innocent people. I'd also like to take this opportunity to wish His Royal Highness Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, the founder of our university, President Emeritus of IFP, and traditional Prime Minister of the Zulu Nation, speedy recovery and a return to service. Something that we know he cherishes so much as a servant of the people. Last Thursday, his secretary, Ms. Lindith Waller, assured my office that Prince Buthelezi is making steady recovery and that he was expected to come back home soon. We share that hope. I am pleased to announce that our MUT Radio has opened a platform for everyone to send well wishes through a WhatsApp line. Please join us in sending those messages. We gather here ahead of the founder's 95th birthday this Saturday. We encourage all of you to use all our communication platforms, including MUT Radio, to wish him a happy birthday. We are all stakeholders and beneficiaries of this university because of his vision that led to the establishment of Mangosuthu Technikon in 1979 through seed funding received from, say, Harry Oppenheimer of Anglo-American. Therefore, we all say in the Ndabezitha, Unwele Olude, happy birthday in advance, Shenge. Sokwalisa Pungasha. In my address today, I'll give brief overviews on the state of the university, and my EMC colleagues will then add further details where I may not have been broad enough on the topic at hand. Let me start by sharing good news with you. We have again obtained a clean audit, this time for the 2022 financial year. This positive outcome is the result of collective effort from all of you. We are grateful for your adherence to policies and procedures that enable us to account for every cent we receive from the state. By following our policies and the laws of the country, we send out a good message to the communities we serve and the taxpayers of South Africa. If we continue in this fashion, more funders will entrust us with gifts of money, and the core functions of the university will benefit. Let me also acknowledge the positive role played by the university administrator, Professor Lawrence van Staden, and his technical team, by allowing us as the executive to continue with the business of running the university without interference. The administrator has given the vice chancellor space to lead the university community. This has created a positive working environment for me and my executive team. The administrator will soon be convening a summit with designated stakeholders to discuss the status quo and way forward in respect of his terms of reference. And very soon, the administrator will also start on a process to appoint senior leaders of the university in positions that are currently vacant. As the leadership of the institution, our primary goal is to make MUT a destination of choice for staff and students, and to provide a conducive working and learning environment for them. We're intentional about this, and I will shortly talk about social cohesion and transformation, as these are the cornerstones of the university we envision. This year, colleagues, we commemorate the 10th anniversary of the Fulcus Conference. Our GNF publication reported on this conference last Friday. Great strides have been made since the commencement of the Fulcus Conference, which began its academic life as a colloquium. Coming out of the conference, we now have a 322-page scholarly book that was edited by Dr. Makua, the acting DVC for Teaching and Learning, and Dr. Mariam Akinlo, a postdoctoral fellow who spent some years at our Faculty of Engineering and is now with the London Metropolitan University. The title of the book is Sustaining Higher Education Through Resource Allocation, Learning Designs, and Academic Development. This scholarly work is the proceedings of the 2022 Fulcus Conference. This book, published by Atlantis Press, was also co-edited by Mr. Sitole, Dr. Kumede, and Mr. Nyondo, all staff members of the TLDC and also members of the conference organizing committee. But we want to say hearty congratulations to Dr. Makua and his team. The publication of this book adds to many positive developments in the university, which I will now talk about. Let me start by talking about our attempts to put people first. I wish to acknowledge the development of the asset disposal policy by the finance department. This policy has enabled us to start with our people when we had to dispose some of our old vehicles recently. The cheapest vehicle was 15,000 rand, and the most expensive one was 65,000. This has enabled some of our staff to become first-time car owners. Currently, the IT and N department is also developing a concept document on the pricing of 700 laptops that were not purchased by students during COVID-19. These laptops will soon be put up for sale by staff and students. Again, this will be a fair process to ensure that our people become the beneficiaries of these assets. On the student front, the pantry that supports poor students has been officially launched by Gift of the Givers, and this has supported more than 4,000 students since last year. We also acknowledge the support of our alumnus, Mr. Nkululeko Mthembu, a quantity surveying graduate who provide toiletries for both female and male students as and when the need arises. This is an inspiration to everyone to give support where it is required. On social cohesion and nation building, I'm happy to report that whilst I was on leave in July, I was impressed to see so many initiatives taking place at the same time, led by staff and students to empower others. I saw staff members from various departments working together for the common good of the university and the nation. The selflessness of highly qualified people getting down to assist the poor and marginalized spoke well of MUT and has helped to enhance our brand. In old age homes, in orphanages, and in deepest rural areas, MUT staff and students were there without expecting any reward. This civic act of kindness demonstrated that the MUT we envision is possible if we work together as a university community. MUT Radio has also been engaged in social cohesion endeavors. For example, the station has been actively promoting diversity and inclusivity. MUT Radio showcases a diverse range of voices, perspectives, and cultures. By featuring programs, music, and discussions from various backgrounds, it helps both students and staff to appreciate and understand different cultures, thus fostering an inclusive environment where everyone feels valued and represented. The radio station also airs content that is relevant to the university community, such as campus news, upcoming events, academic discussions, and interviews with staff and students. This helps create a shared sense of awareness and engagement with campus life. On student environment, the station also involves students in the production and hosting of radio shows. This provides a platform for students to to share their interests, talents, and ideas. Collaborative efforts in creating and hosting shows strengthen relationships and teamwork among students. The radio station has also been showcasing MUT talent. Many universities have a diverse range of talented individuals, including musicians, artists, poets, and public speakers. The radio station provides a platform for these talents to be showcased, promoting a sense of pride and appreciation within the university community. The value brought by MUT Radio is huge and ranges from discussion of relevant topics, hosting talk shows, panel discussions, and debates on important social, cultural, and academic topics, connecting alumni and celebrating campus achievements. By doing all of this, MUT Radio plays a powerful role in promoting social cohesion, collegiality, and a strong sense of community among students and staff. All staff and students are encouraged to submit ideas that may enhance the quality of the radio station services. So we really want to urge you to submit whatever innovative ideas you have. Let me go on to talk about some of the recent international visits I undertook this year. From the 6th to the 19th of May, I led a delegation to three states in the USA. The delegation included Professor Nokutula Sibiya, the DVC for Research, Innovation and Engagement, and Ms. Mbali Mkize, Senior Director, Marketing and Communications, and currently assigned with additional responsibilities for internationalization. The visit was meant to sign partnership agreements at Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University, FAMU, in Tallahassee, Florida. Also at Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia, and also with Swell One in Ohio. However, long-term friendships built over a 23-year relationship with high-level executives in Florida and Georgia resulted in new engagement and prospective partnerships with various schools within FAMU. That is the College of Engineering, the College of Agriculture, and the School of the Environment. The latter is also spearheading an entrepreneurial program for MUT to consider oyster farming in an attempt to foster new entrepreneurial approaches, as well as for MUT researchers to bring breadth and depth into the blue economy research. MUT has a potentially competitive advantage of being a leader in oyster farming and research into the blue economy because of its proximity to the sea and the fact that most African communities have not explored new diets that could enhance food security. In Atlanta, not only did MUT and Spelman College revisit their partnership agreement, but the engagement enabled a president-to-president talk on how both institutions could take forward their collaboration. I see huge spin-offs for both South and Sweden coming out of the USA visit. There are mid-term and long-term plans that we are putting together to seize the opportunities that are being presented to us. Last month, I also had the opportunity to be part of a delegation to Namibia by the Board of Technological Higher Education South Africa, TENSA. An opportunity to partner with Namibia University of Science and Technology has emerged out of this visit. This will be a good partnership for MUT as there is commonality in our research interests and institutional values. In line with our MUT strategy 2025, we have done well in positioning our brand internationally. We have moved from zero MOUs in 2020 to 20 signed MOUs with universities in Africa, Europe, the USA, and Asia. These MOUs will assist MUT to facilitate both staff and students' exchanges so that they can deepen their knowledge in research and innovation, as well as teaching and learning. Our students will also get the opportunity to participate in cultural immersion and entrepreneurship programs. We are deeply heartened by the eagerness of several universities in Europe to work with us. We now have partnerships and collaborations in France, the United Kingdom, and Sweden. Last year, we had 11 MUT staff members participate in the South Africa-Sweden Forum, also known as SASUF. This year, I was invited to the SASUF Research and Innovation Week in Cape Town, where we met with close to 40 South African and Swedish vice chancellors. I noted with great interest the participation of MUT delegates during the conference. SASUF informed us 2 months ago that 4 of our researchers have received the SASUF grant to enhance their research in various universities in South Africa and Sweden. This afternoon, Ms. Helen Beckman from Sweden will visit us to provide further details on how staff could participate in the SASUF Research Conference taking place in Sweden next year. On Wednesday, we'll have a DAAD visit. The DAAD is an agency from Germany, and they will be making presentations on how to attract top postgraduate students and academics to pursue master's and doctoral degrees in Germany. Last week, we had a partner from France who came to present a workshop to our staff on artificial intelligence. Over the past 2 years, we've been able to form partnerships with universities in Botswana, Namibia, and Congo, and there are many other collaborative engagements underway in Ghana and Nigeria. Our international student recruitment drive has also seen us this year visit more than 173 schools in Lesotho, with a total of 10,500 learners. It would be remiss of me not to recognize the contribution being made by our international academic staff members in advancing MIT's internationalization strategy. Currently, MIT has a fair number of international academics, particularly from the African continent. All these international gains are part of our MIT strategy 2025. Many thanks to all those who have contributed to the success of our internationalization strategy. I'm also pleased to report to you that we now have 2 new buildings. the engineering building, and a new student center. We've already started moving staff and students into these buildings. Last semester, we moved some staff members into the new engineering building. 2 weeks ago, we had the Department of Student Affairs, the SRC, and financial aid staff move to the new student center building. We thank the resources and planning portfolio for making this possible by properly managing the government grant, overseeing the construction process, and preparing the buildings for occupation. We are proud of these new buildings, and we invite you to visit them if you haven't done so, and see what state-of-the-art construction really means. Dr. Blade Nzimande, the Minister for Higher Education and Training, will be asked to come and open these buildings officially, and a date still to be determined. I'm also happy to report that at the beginning of this year, we received a letter from the Minister of Higher Education and Training allocating an amount of 341 million to the university as earmarked funding for specially approved projects. This financial assistance will go a long way towards advancing the mission and vision of the university. Special thanks go to various offices which submitted proposals for various projects. These projects will be located in various departments and divisions within the university. As a result of this funding, the engineering faculty will be able to finish all its new offices and laboratories, while the operations directorate will be able to refurbish student residences, construct new laboratories, establish boreholes, and so on. We're getting bigger and better. We want to thank the Department of Higher Education and Training for conceptualizing the Sibusiso Bengu Development Program and for the funding allocated to us. I want to stress that this funding is what is called earmarked funding, meaning that it can only be used for the projects that we applied for. So this funding can be used for any other expenses. It can only be used for specially approved projects. On the research front, our research output target for 2022 was 45.2 units. The 97.7 units received for 2022 is significantly higher than the 53.1 units reported for the same period during 2021. The target for 2022 was significantly exceeded. The increase amounts to an improvement of 116%, which is attributed to staff capacity building initiatives, the appointment of postdoctoral research fellowships, and retired research professors, who all made significant contributions towards improving our research output. It is because of this remarkable improvement in our research output that in 2021, we received a special award from the NRF called the Acceleration Award. And we want to thank our researchers for making possible for us to achieve this kind of recognition. Can I ask you to give our researchers a round of applause. The Acceleration Award is a combination of two words, excellence and acceleration, meaning speed. And it was given in recognition of the excellence of our research and also the speed with which the turnaround was made. The following five researchers were successful in their applications for the 2022 NRF rating. Professor Sibiya received a C2 rating. Can you please give a round of applause? Professor Davis received a C2 rating. Dr. Ebenezer received a Y2 rating. Dr. Gumede also received a Y2 rating. And Dr. Dinaidi also received a Y2 rating. The 2022 target entailed finalization of research funding proposals by 2%, which were 7 funded proposals. This target was exceeded as 27 proposals were funded in 2022. The cumulative income from the research grants and contracts was 8.8 million. This year, colleagues, we celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the TLDC. 10 years ago, the university recognized the critical need for a dedicated center to provide teaching and learning support to both staff and students. Synod supported the creation of the TLDC in November 2012. And at the beginning of 2013, the TLDC opened its doors. Since then, the TLDC has been engaged in wide-ranging training and academic development initiatives, with a focus on upskilling lecturers to become competent teachers and students to become successful learners. In just 10 years, the TLDC has become a champion of academic development and e-learning at MUT, offering courses and training to staff and students. We acknowledge and celebrate the pivotal role that the TLDC has played and continues to play in enhancing the quality of education at MUT. I'm also happy to report that we have developed a turnaround strategy for the university. This strategy entails initiatives to strengthen and reposition MUT through a 3S approach. First, to stabilize and fix problems. Second, to strengthen our leadership. And third, to shine as MUT. In turning around the institution, the matter of the MUT's financial sustainability is paramount. However, as management, we appreciate the fact that the matter of finances cannot and should not be seen in isolation. To this end, the turnaround strategy also focuses on the need to address issues related to organizational climate and culture and the areas related to improving social cohesion at our institution. Expect will be appointed shortly to assist management in developing a way forward related to these areas. All these initiatives are meant to elevate MUT to a university of the future on par with its counterparts. Our senior management committed itself to this turnaround strategy at the senior management Lakota held in the first semester. As advised by the administrator, we can now proceed with the implementation of this strategy as a management plan. Aspects of this strategy will be integrated into the administrator's 5-year development plan as part of his terms of reference. Management recently approved a closeout report, and we are now officially in the implementation phase. Our project manager for the turnaround strategy, Ms. Tando Khadebe, will be engaging with you on the implementation of this plan. We'll share new developments in this regard as we proceed. And I want to talk about a topical matter which relates to NSFAS. We have seen disturbances on a number of campuses in the country. And I'm sure you are familiar with the challenges that have cropped up because of changes in the way NSFAS is doing its work. These changes have brought about challenges for students. These are difficult times indeed. However, we want to thank our students and our student leadership for resisting the pressure to disrupt the academic program because of these national problems. By so doing, our students have demonstrated maturity and foresight by refusing to turn national problems into local challenges. NSFAS problems are national in character and origin and should not be localized. And I want to stress that. NSFAS problems are national in character and origin and should not be localized. These are not our problems. They are problems coming from Cape Town. And we cannot allow some opportunists to use these problems to disrupt the academic program with their eyes fixed on the SRC elections next month. And I want to use this opportunity to warn any potential troublemakers that we will not tolerate any disruption of the academic program because of problems not of our making. The NSFAS problems are not of our making. They therefore cannot be localized. We want to urge those students who want to exploit this situation as they campaign for the SRC elections to think again, because any disruption of the academic program will have severe consequences. Slightly over a week ago, I was part of a USEF board that had a meeting with the NSFAS leadership at the Minister of Higher Education and Training to discuss this NSFAS challenges. Another meeting with the NSFAS leadership will take place soon to take our discussion forward. This will happen pretty soon. While solutions Abimsot National. We urge our students to focus on their studies. We're just a few months away from the end of the academic year, and we cannot afford to lose a single day. We want to thank again our student leaders for the stability and for the maturity that they've brought to student leadership at the university. MUT is a shining example of stability, and that stability must be maintained at all costs. We'll update you on what is going to happen with these NSFAS challenges once we have this meeting with the NSFAS leadership and the Department of Higher Education. The meeting may take place anytime from next week. When we met last time, the minister actually instructed that the meeting should take place within 2 weeks. So we expect that meeting to happen very soon. And we hope solutions will be found. On the entrepreneurship front, I'm pleased to report that a new entrepreneurship champion has joined the executive management. Professor Sibiya, the DVC Research, Innovation and Engagement, has joined the entrepreneurship bus. The enthusiasm and support will go a long way. As you know, the topic of entrepreneurship is very close to my heart. It is an initiative that I believe can bring about positive changes in the future of our students. As the British writer and Anglican lay theologian C.S. Lewis has said, and I quote, "Two heads are better than one, not because either is infallible, but because they are unlikely to go wrong in the same direction," end of quote. I wish to encourage everyone to embrace the spirit of entrepreneurship, as this is the only way to build a bright future for our students. A few weeks ago, Professor Sibiya seized an opportunity for the training of our student entrepreneurs and academic leaders made possible by TENSA. Recently, Dr. Njangase, the acting dean of the Faculty of Management Sciences, was profiled in the media for the launch of Student Women Economic Empowerment Program, SWIP for short. We want to congratulate Dr. Njangase and his entrepreneurship team. I'd also like to congratulate the Faculty of Natural Sciences for implementing an entrepreneurship program. As I close, I want to talk very briefly about the future of the institution. And I want to talk about what is our own assessment as MUT, as the MUT leadership. Colleagues, we are convinced that MUT has a bright future. If you look at the advances that have been made on the research front, if you look at the advances that have been made in terms of teaching and learning, if you look at the developments within the university, if you look at the support that we receive and enjoy from the department, we have every reason to believe that we have a good future. By the way, many of you may not be aware, this university enjoys a lot of support from the Department of Higher Education and Faith. They like what we are doing, and they've said so in so many ways, because we have remained true to the mandate of a University of Technology. And that is why you see the kind of funding that we receive from the department. And we want to thank all of you for your contribution to this success story. So you can be assured that if we remain on this course, the future is bright and your jobs are secure. As I conclude, I want to recognize the sterling work of the MUT choir. Last month, our choir won in national oral competitions. This in spite of MUT not having a music department. Our netball team also won at the USSA Games, while one of our Enectus students won a laptop. And MUT's GBV song was recognized as an inspirational song for students across the country. Indeed, MUT has got talent. MUT is a place of inspiration. I therefore ask you to stand and give a resounding applause to all our MUT achievers. Siyabonga. I'd like to thank all of you for your contributions, great and small. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Keep on rising, and the world will notice you. Always remember what Vince Lombardi, the renowned American football coach, once said. And I quote, "The price of hard work, the price of success rather, is hard work. It is dedication to the job at hand and the determination that when we win or lose, we have applied the best of ourselves to the task at hand." End of quote. If we can all remember this piece of advice, then the world will be MUT's oyster. Siyabonga, may the Almighty God continue to bless us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prof, for the words that you have shared with us. We all appreciate that, and thank you so much. And I hope that we have all heard, and we will internalize what we have heard. And good morning to you, colleagues. I will be very brief, as I've been requested. I just have one or two issues to address, but I think I don't want to overshadow what we have had, because that's the reason why we are here today. A week ago, I took a walk on campus, both outside and inside some of our buildings. What I have seen is something I will not talk about now. But you must also have read that I have been tasked together with some of my colleagues to look at the possibilities of improving the aesthetics of our campus. Because of our schedules, we haven't been able to meet yet. And I've been discussing with Ms. Mkhize when I came in here this morning that we need to speed up our engagement with that task. I am sure, colleagues, you will agree with me that more needs to be done on this front. Producing graduates who are ready to make it out there is not only by ticking the pass box at the end of the day, but it's more about the quality of the learning experience that we expose our students to. This counts. You may ask, what does improving the environment have to do with the quality of graduates we produce? Well, it has a lot to do with it. MUT and its challenges do not require small thinkers, but it doesn't require people who always complain about what they see or encounter. It requires people who can think beyond their limitations and beyond what they see and think about what can we do to make things better. As part of improving MUT's institutional culture, we need to improve our environment. We need to improve the quality of our lecture halls, the quality of spaces used by academics and other workers in the university, the quality of learning spaces outside the classroom, etc. We need to improve the cleanliness of our campus, ladies and gentlemen. This is important as it affects the mindsets of our staff and students, and it influences the narratives that people eventually have about MUT. Giving our students and staff a conducive environment will take extraordinary thinkers and doers. MUT belongs to all of us. That's why when you see wrong and abuse, you need not keep silent. When you see students litter, don't keep silent. I don't. We are all collective owners of this national asset called MUT. It does not belong to certain people. It does not belong to management. It is therefore important that those of us who are here should make it our commitment that we will leave MUT better than what we found it to be. Report abuse where and when you see it. Report the abuse of students where and when you see it. And since it's Women's Month, I will add that report the abuse of female students and staff where and when you see it. If you don't know where and where to do so, make it your task to find out. We need to protect our academic project, and we need to protect our students in particular. If you keep silent, you are complicit. Staff who have been reported, I can assure you, for being responsible for not treating or abusing students have been dealt with. They've been disciplined and eventually dismissed where there was a case to answer. You can rest assured that if there's a matter that is being reported of the abuse of female students and there is a case to answer, the concerned staff member will be made to answer the case. We should not hear complaints about this in corridors or in corners, and such matters are not brought out into the open. We cannot live with something that we know exists and we don't deal with it, because it affects our image and it affects our reputation. And therefore, bring it out to the open to those of us who are not afraid to deal with it. We will take it head on. Report the abuse of university resources. Let us deliberate, ladies and gentlemen, about growing and protecting the MUT brand. The collective ownership of MUT is an important institutional culture trait that all of us must develop and nurture. I thank you.
And that was Dr. Manyane Makua, who is the State of Teaching and Learning at the University. Now, we expect Dr. Van Koller, who is representing Resource and Operations La at the Mangosuthu University of Technology.
Program Director, VP, and also each of the executives, thank you for this opportunity. I will also try to be brief and not repeat what Prof. Mohale and Dr. Makua already have said. I just wanted to summarize some of the achievements as well as priorities of the Resource and Planning Direct portfolio. As you know, resource and planning consists of finance, operations, which includes infrastructure and maintenance, security services, etc., information technology and networks, IT&N, human resources and development, HR&D, institutional planning and research, which is known as DIPR, as well as legal services. Now, I'm not going to say much about finance. Prof has already, at a very high level, mentioned some of the achievements of many of the resource and planning directorates. Finance, in particular, you mentioned the clean audit, and Mr. Delamani is here to say much more about financial matters, the sustainability, and NUT being a going concern. So I'm not going to say much. Operations, Dr. Makua has mentioned a very important matter. Much of what resource and planning is doing is to achieve that goal of ensuring a conducive working and teaching and learning environment at the university. But even if we do that, we all as staff members and even students, all members of the MUT community, a responsibility to help keep these resources clean, tidy and clean, and to look after it. The purpose of especially operations is to provide the infrastructure where teaching and learning can take place. I don't want to repeat our major achievements of recently, but I need to mention, Prof has mentioned it already, you know, the student center that was recently completed, the engineering building. But in addition to that, there's a lot of repairs that's happening, especially most recent repairs related to the student accommodation. We've managed to repair three of the student resident blocks, and they are ready for occupation by students even now in the second semester. There's other repairs, you know, ablution facilities at the North Campus that have been completed, refurbishment of the air lecture halls, which is starting, and then we also, the biomed labs, refurbishment is in process, and the first phase is almost completed. So there's a number of things happening. Now, we know that there are many needs at MUT, infrastructure maintenance needs. Unfortunately, and I don't want to give an excuse, but we are limited by the funds, the available funds that we have. We recently, Mr. Kao and his team and myself, had a walkabout to some of the faculties, to natural sciences at North Campus, as well as the engineering faculty on this campus. And we've looked at their needs, and we said to them, look, let us work according to priorities. We cannot do everything at once. And we've agreed, we'll start with the most urgent priority to start working on that. But one thing I can tell you, we are intent on addressing whatever maintenance requirements there are. And we have made progress. As I've said, certain projects have already been completed, and I'm glad to mention that. In terms of IT&N, I see Dr. Deswaran has just left, but his team is here. We commend IT&N for ensuring very low downtime in terms of our internet, in terms of our email system. They're now storing everything in the cloud, and that is really helping to sustain sustainability as well as to ensure business continuity at the university. You know, I know sometimes HR&D doesn't like this, but IT&N is the lifeblood of the university. HR&D is the heart, but the lifeblood is IT&N. So if the blood is not flowing, the university cannot operate. So they do play a very important role, and some of their priorities is to ensure, you know, further extending our Wi-Fi connectivity, both for staff and students, not only on campus, but at our residences. And, you know, to make sure that our system, our information system, is protected and available at all times. HR&D, Mr. Rital is here. HR&D, as I said, is the heart of the university. The staff, Prof has mentioned, we're putting our staff, our human capital first. So this is a department that looks after you and your interests. Sometimes, but please understand, HR&D has to work according to policies. We cannot just do certain things without following policy, unfortunately. But the department is there to serve the interests of the university and to ensure, and part of this initiative that Prof has also mentioned, to help develop the culture of the university, a culture of commitment to our work, a culture of going, really giving our best, so that this university can remain a going concern. We are glad that there's now stability within the HR&D department. As we know, in the past, there was no stability and rotation of leadership. So now, gradually, things are coming right. Policies are being developed and being reviewed within the HR&D division. And DIPR, as institutional planning and research, has an equally important role to play. That's a department that ensures that MUT gets its rightful part of the DEd block grants. If they do not give the correct data and information to the department and report what is called the YIMBUS reports, the university could suffer substantially in terms of funding. And funding, we need the funding to remain a going concern. So, of course, to the accuracy of the data, and also our enrollment, the enrollment plan of the university, to make sure that we keep on track with the enrollment plan within the guidelines of the Department of Higher Education and Training. So this is a department plays an equally important service. The last, equally important role. The last department, but not least, of course, is legal services. The main purpose of legal services is to try and prevent this escalating external legal cost for the university. The priority for this department is to try and help us to resolve, especially disciplinary matters and other matters internally, so that the university, can save costs and work more efficiently. So there's a need for us to improve our internal processes and practices so that we can save the university a lot of money. I think I'm going to pause there. I wanted to say more, but because of time constraints, I'm going to pause there. Thank you so much.
Again, in terms of looking at the state of the university from a finance perspective, I thought I'd share with you some numbers so we can see in terms of history where we were and where we are currently, what some of the plans are in terms of stabilizing and improving financial sustainability. The VC did mention the turnaround strategy, and a big part of that is financial sustainability. And I was chatting to some colleagues at the beginning of the session just before we sat down, and there was mention that they hope it's not all doom and gloom. I can see Adisishi smiling at me. So I think just to give some assurance to colleagues that it's not all doom and gloom, I'm pleased to say that, you know, we have made some improvements, which is positive for the university, for financial sustainability and the way forward. There are still, of course, various challenges that we navigate through to reach the goals that we set in our strategy in terms of financial sustainability. So we can take that positive away, and we, of course, work towards that. In the presentation this morning regarding the state of university finances, I'll cover very briefly just a recap of the funding model, look at our operating expenditure again, look at some financial indicators which are quite important for us because they help us manage finances, they help us identify where we're going wrong, they help us identify any significant risks, and of course they'll help us to put plans in place to address those risks. We'll talk very quickly about the 2023 synopsis, where we are at the end of June. We normally do the state of the university address at the beginning of the year, so this time we're doing it, of course, in the third quarter. It gives us an opportunity to look back at 2023 a little bit as well. I also want to chat very briefly about NASFAS and the implications for MUT, and then I'll finish up with a quick conclusion. So, colleagues, nothing has changed significantly in terms of the funding model. Remember, the university and the sector, as it is very dependent on the DHET for funding. A significant portion of MUT's revenue comes from the block grant. An even bigger portion comes from residence income, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on, because the capping on NASFAS allowances for student accommodation will impact residents' income. And, of course, then we have tuition fees, and the concerning factor at MUT is that the tuition fee income is the lowest source of income, and we'll talk about the plans we have afoot in terms of trying to address that. So that hasn't changed significantly. Funding channel challenges. Of course, third stream income, and that we will be addressing through the turnaround strategy. So at the moment, it's very small compared to other institutions in the sector, and it's something we're hoping to improve on, especially through the establishment of the Institutional Advancement Office with the Executive Director there, Dr. Connie Israel, will be leading the office and trying to make inroads in terms of improving third stream income. I mentioned very low tuition fees, and of course challenges in the sector in terms of declining funding from the DA, from a subsidy or non-distribution. Top 10 expenses that hasn't changed, you'll see salaries, employee costs is our biggest expense. It makes up about 44% of our total expenditure. And I'll talk more about salaries as we go down in terms of employee costs. But as we said, we are taking proactive steps to make sure that our staff and our are taken care of as best as possible within the constraints we work in. So it is a significant cost. Student accommodation costs, also the second highest costs we pay to our landlords. For the rental of accommodation, also significant. And then you have, of course.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.